Merry meet, and welcome to The Pragmatic Pagan. This podcast explores an inclusive pagan path via science-based witchcraft, no deities included. With a focus on nature and energy, this spiritual practice is centered on lunar tides and seasonal cycles. Join me weekly for ways to stay connected and in tune to the universe. And we can stay connected when you follow me on Facebook at A Pragmatic Pagan or on Instagram at The Pragmatic Pagan. Reach out to share your questions or stories. I would love to hear from you. You can also leave a voice message via my page on Anchor Podcasts. Link in the bio. Merry meet all. Welcome, welcome. Long time, no broadcast, and I apologize for that. Yet again, the tides of life swept me up. Thank you to everyone who reached out, checking in, and welcome to the new listeners that have joined us. Those tides of life did drop me in a new location, so my home hunting spell found success. A much more grounded situation. Literally, I am now in a situation with a yard instead of 8 floors up. Already, my ultra Virgo self is loving that earth vibe, and I'm feeling more settled in. Also, as our country began to shift the stage from COVID-19 to Black Lives Matter, I took a moment of reflection. For today's Pagan Roundtable, we ask the question, what's the difference between paganism and witchcraft? We give you an update on some podcast resources, and we check in with a few ideas on ways to build your knowledge base. I also touch on some tricks for how to stay grounded during this time of frazzled nerves and uncertainty. First, let's start with that update. If you are on Facebook, be sure to check out the new listeners group just for this podcast. It's a place to ask questions, share stories, and connect. For those that have shops or offer services, if it fits within the scope of what we discuss here on The Pragmatic Pagan, I am going to be offering small spots on the roundtable episodes to promote your product or your services. Reach out to learn more. In addition to all of that, I am in the process of working on a Patreon and would love to know what listeners might be interested in. I'm hoping this will be a place where I can share more of the individual tools and some of my templates for rituals. As I have developed along my path, I am more and more drawn to the role of teacher and mentor, and I hope to use my Patreon as a way to connect with this expanding community. Content may include everything from transcribed versions of the show, for those that learn better through visual means, to one-on-one consultations, live meditations, or private lessons. What are you interested in seeing on my Patreon? How can I better support you in your journey? I've had a few users reach out wanting a deeper explanation of paganism, witchcraft, and the difference between the two. So I offer this explanation. Paganism and witchcraft are not one and the same. Paganism is the what, witchcraft is the how. Paganism is tied to nature and the world around us. It takes roots in practices outside of organized religion and does not rely on text, but rather on nature to teach us. In fact, the term pagan actually relies a bit on context. In many cultures, any non-dominant religion is seen as heathen or pagan. For that reason, paganism can broadly be described as the beliefs of the people or non-ruling class. It is a term that can be used with derogatory intention, however, and typically these are focused on pantheons of gods and goddesses and a reverence for the natural cycle of the season. But that is not the only case, since it is often used just to describe the non-dominant religion of the area. It has been reclaimed by many New Age participants as an expression of their connection with nature and the natural cycles of the planet, which brings you to where we are here today in this podcast. Witchcraft focuses more on the concept of energy awareness and manipulation. This practice dates back as far as the stories of biblical nature, and probably further, which we will get more into an upcoming history roundtable. It is a complicated origin story with many evolutions. Suffice it to say that there are many types of witchcraft, many ways in which you can practice the how, and not all are pagan. In fact, witchcraft in various forms can be found worldwide across many heritages and social races. Consider that there are Christian witches and pagans who practice through non-Christian prayer, or follow a more Buddhist or pantheon pagan path. the combinations are truly limitless, which also makes it a bit daunting sometimes. The key is to focus on where you feel comfortable and then find your community from there. And really, this podcast comes from that. I was looking for a community that focused more on the science-based principles of both witchcraft and paganism. I like to think of it as a tree. The trunk of the tree is paganism, a reverence, respect, and affiliation with the living ecosystems around us. From there, the trunk splits into a deity or non-deity path. And again, the path splits when it comes to whether you practice witchcraft or not. A branch for each way that you can embrace paganism. If you are more interested in the pagan path than the witchcraft portion, this might mean that you celebrate the major equinoxes and the solstices, maybe even the four additional fire festivals, Samhain, Beltane, etc., staying within your comfort zone of what celebration means. They might look more modern than what you hear described, but that's really okay. Instead of jumping fire at Beltane, maybe you light up the barbecue and make a meal for your friends. You could even go so far as to include meditations on the sun or moon. Really, whatever your attention as a pagan is drawn to. Maybe it's about spending time hiking in the deep woods, and that's how you practice, through your walks. As always, there is no real wrong way here. I also just want to clarify that Wicca is one of many paths in witchcraft, and a very historically white New Age practice. While my education was strongly Wiccan, I actually have moved away from that practice over time and embrace a more inclusive, non-gendered approach. Many paths in witchcraft emphasize female-only admission, something that I challenge in my own practice. There are many ways to explore witchcraft. In fact, I will be going a bit more into it in an upcoming episode. My particular approach is as close to science as it gets. There are some things that we know scientifically about energy and, of course, about nature. But then, yes, there are leaps of faith, and not everyone wants to or can make those leaps. Again, completely okay. You find a spiritual practice that works for you. All right, witches. We need to talk. And while this may not apply to you 100%, it still applies, in one way or another. This topic has brought a strange amount of radio silence from the pagan community, and even an amount of backlash. In fact, the avoidance of the topic is why it's not listed in the title. I didn't want you to skip this, so please, hear me out. Black lives matter. Black trans lives matter. While I have seen one or two memes of witches at protests, people are also unsubscribing from pagan, witchcraft, and tarot feeds. Major dislike trends. Comments of stay in your own lane, this isn't what spirituality is about. And a whole lot of radio silence. The pagan community has started to show its true color. And it's white. But let's be clear, paganism and witchcraft belong to no specific heritage or social race or gender. These practices and beliefs exist worldwide in many forms, in many locations, and in many cultures. These are worldwide spiritual practices, and in fact, white people make up only a portion of practitioners. We also, as pagan and witches, need to stand up to take an introspective look at our current systems. Who and how books are published, who and what types of witchcraft is discredited, who speaks at cons and workshops, how are we prioritizing minority voices to tell their stories within our own community? There is a lot we need to be looking at and doing the proverbial unpacking. And frankly, I'm a bit astounded at this response from a community that claims to push for inclusion, equality, environmental, and human rights. And if you aren't fighting any of those fights, I challenge you to evaluate what it is about your beliefs that truly make you pagan. This is a moment to define if you are part of a trend or willing to shoulder the mantle of responsibility that comes with actually being connected to our world and its inhabitants. It's true that our voices are much too silent in all cases where human, animal, and environmental rights are violated. So why today? Why now? Why Black Lives Matter? No matter where you live, this battle hits close to home. not on another continent, not in another state or city, or even on another street. Racism is a battle we are waging in our very homes and minds. Even as pagans, it is a system so deeply ingrained in our way of being that every decision we make can help break down this deeply entrenched enemy. No one is free from its tendrils. Whether these tendrils have a blindfold over your eyes or are tangled around your throat, cutting off air. He said, "I can't breathe." In the wake of the brutal killing of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Tony McDade, Nina Pop, Ahmaud Arbery, Elijah McClain, Eric Gardner, Trevion Martin, Tamir Rice, Michael Brown, Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, the list keeps going. In fact, in the time of writing this episode, more and more incidents of Black Americans dying at the hands of police have come to the surface. America and all white colonial cultures have been called to a reckoning. A moment where our white culture is facing the truth of its past. And specifically, here in America, we have a bloody past. This is not a country built by glorified white people. It was built on the backs of indigenous people who were slaughtered and forced onto reservations. Built by Black people that were enslaved by white conquerors, uprooted from their homes and their cultures, and forced into years of torture, servitude, cultural terror, and death. It is built on the immigrants who come to make a better life for themselves and that we cage and keep at our borders. While our hands may not be personally tainted with their blood or their tears, our white silence has allowed their sacrifices to fuel this country and its economy for generation after generation. It's important to say that these lives with which we have been so careless, with which we have overlooked and stepped on, these lives, they matter. For the first time, we need to say it out loud, as a country. Black lives matter. We need to prove it with our actions. Black lives matter. We need to do more than just be silent. Black lives matter. Our pagan silence has stood in stark opposition to the fight for Black lives. We are late to this war. But I believe pagans and witches especially have a role to play in this battle. As a group that often faces its bias and prejudice, this is the moment to stand in solidarity, the moment to start using our white privilege to amplify and support minority voices. This is our chance to step up. There are more of us than we know. There is no box on a census for us to check. But we are a force, and together we can make a difference. We can begin to evaluate and break down the racism within our own community, because trust me, it's there. No one escapes this, not me, not you. So whether on the spiritual or physical plane, we must continue to fight for justice. We must continue to help heal this wound, which often means reopening and cleaning out the infection. But remember, we are late to this war, and we must take our cues from those who have been fighting for far longer than we. We are not the generals in this war. We are the masses. The virus has forced us to pause. In that moment, before we began to reopen, we were envisioning a better future. In that moment, we saw 8 minutes, 46 seconds of the most brutal and heartbreaking actions. We saw a life end, and with nowhere to go the next day, no work to be a part of, we had time to be outraged. We had time to think and cry out. We had time to break our silence. And now, the world is quickly reopening because it doesn't want us to have time. Time to continue to push for justice, to push for change, to push for a better tomorrow. So it's up to us to make time. Don't let the world sweep you away. Don't let the opportunity for a better tomorrow get lost in the return. So this is a call to stop being silent, to begin learning, to begin activating. First, we have to realize there is a problem in our pagan community. Second, educate, educate, educate. As I have recently learned, it is so very important that we are prioritizing and supporting Black voices in this conversation. White allies are great, but let's hear from those that are experiencing it. This also means compensating those people fairly for their work. Buy the book. Support the Patreon. Send donations via PayPal or Venmo. There is a lot to this education. Not only should you learn about issues affecting Black Americans today, but there is a lot of Black history that gets left out of our history books. Black Wall Street, Tulsa. These are things that are part of our history, and they were conveniently left out of most of our history books. There are tons of resources out there. Educate yourself. Prioritize Black voices, and compensate them fairly for their time and work. Then, we have to go beyond reading and start putting in the actual work. Make phone calls to politicians, write emails, sign petitions, get out to vote. This does also mean that you have to learn who to call. Who are your local representatives? Do you know the name of the local police chief? Or what steps they are taking to reallocate funds to community services and reduce police involvement and brutality? Government is not simple on purpose, but that's why it's important to understand and participate, not just in presidential elections, but on a local level as well. We also have to do this work internally, asking ourselves, how have we let these systems shape the things we do in life? Everything from home dynamics to work life. This is where it gets tricky and deep. Start to pay attention, and it's amazing how deeply ingrained some of this is. And like a weed in a garden that is run deep and wide, it will take some work to pull this from the root. Likely work that won't be completed in our lifetime. Which means we are in this for the long haul, just like we are for the planet. So buckle up. And let's be clear. That last 2 weeks have taught me a lot, and I even hesitated to make a statement. But white silence, and specifically the white pagan silence, is astounding. And to that, I needed to speak. But one thing is clear, I'm not ready to lead or guide anyone in this work. I have a lot of work to do myself. It is a journey I am late to, but one that I take on knowing the responsibility and importance of the long road ahead. In fact, I recently shared on social media that I was engaging with the book White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. Thankfully, someone called me up and brought to my attention that instead I should be centering and listening to Black voices on this topic instead. Thank you for that learning moment. So I have adjusted my reading list accordingly, and I encourage you to do the same. I'm finding some great voices out there that I was previously unaware of, and it has been both wonderful and eye-opening. This is just the beginning, and remember, we cannot be silent, but our job as an ally is complicated, so educate yourself on the best ways you can participate and support the movement. As for this podcast and its purpose, I want to encourage you to do the anti-racist work, and that often means providing spiritual space and support as we encounter the harsh truths about ourselves and the world we have created. But it also means providing hope for the world we can build together. A poem by Leslie Dwight. What if 2020 isn't canceled? What if 2020 is the year we've been waiting for? A year so uncomfortable, so painful, so scary, so raw, that it finally forces us to grow. A year that screams so loud, finally awakening us from our ignorant slumber. A year we finally accept the need for change, declare change, work for change, become change. A year we finally band together instead of pushing each other further apart. 2020 isn't canceled, but rather the most important year of them all. By Leslie Dwight. I want to note that many pagan collectives and witchcraft groups are starting to take a stand against police violence and supporting the Black Lives Matter movement across the world. Thank you for speaking up. Our silence only perpetuates the violence. I also want to say that Indigenous lives are a part of and should not be forgotten in this conversation. Especially as pagans, we must take a deep look at how we are honoring or appropriating these cultures worldwide and adjust, learn to do and be better, myself included. And if this is all new, that's okay too. I'm new to the fight as well. But I'm here to stay, and I hope you are too. Sometimes the easiest way we can learn ideas and concepts isn't through textbooks or lectures, but rather through the art that we consume. With that in mind, and since the pandemic has left some of us with a bit more time, I wanted to offer up a few ways you can explore the concepts I talk about in my podcast. First, since we just touched on the anti-racist work, consider viewing via Netflix, or YouTube actually, the movies 13th and When They See Us, both by Ava DuVernay. These are harsh realities of Black lives that we must listen and learn from. When you are done, don't forget to do some research about those unjustly serving prison time in your state. How can you help them? And what are your state's prison policies? Especially as elections near, it is important to understand how prisons play a role in the deadly racism of our justice system. Then, focusing on some of the witchcraft, meditation, and pagan concepts, I really recommend Nickelodeon's Avatar: The Last Airbender, which is also currently on Netflix. It's on the top of my list for must-watch content for learning about energy, the elements, and the idea of living in tune with yourself and nature. I also highly recommend it for its character development, comedy, plotline, and diverse and respectful representation of people and cultures. Throughout the series, you are introduced to a world that is split into four nations: Earth, Air, Fire, and Water. Each nation has those that are gifted with the ability to bend or control the element of their nation. Earthbenders can move and shape rocks. Airbenders can use the air currents to fly. Firebenders manipulate flame as a gentle light or a frightening lightning bolt. And waterbenders use their bending to wield the powers of the ocean or the gentle healing of a spring. There is one who is gifted with all the elements: the Avatar. This person is able to bend all four elements and can habit a spirit self, an all-powerful avatar that can be triggered to restore balance to the world. This story is all about Aang, a young avatar, as he travels the world in search of masters to teach him how to bend the elements. And as he does, we learn the simple truths behind each element, about what it means to work in tandem with each other, and a million other beautiful life lessons summed up in an episodic cartoon. It's truly quite the masterpiece of storytelling and enlightenment. I do warn that the first few seasons starts with a more simplistic animation and storyline, but they are introducing you to the characters and basic plotline. So hang in there. Once that's under your belt, you start to hit the hard content. Season 2 and Season 3 are heavy hitters, and I highly recommend watching through the entire show. Stay tuned to the Facebook group as I dig a bit deeper into some of my favorite episodes there. If you are more interested in books, there are definitely lots of basic witchcraft books out there that you can check out. And I do encourage you, per our anti-racist conversation, to really explore who those authors are and whether they should be the ones telling you about those traditions. But I also encourage you to encounter concepts through story. Much like how the Bible uses stories to tell lessons, principles, histories, there are some great stories out there that draw upon the very heart of paganism and witchcraft. And yes, I mean modern fictional stories. And I know it seems really weird to pull on fiction books for religious story content. Maybe not so weird. But sometimes the best lessons are found in unexpected places. So my first recommendation is Anne Bishop's Pillars of the World series. This story follows a witch as she faces the changing of her world. The key focus for content learning is in how she practices her witchcraft. She uses a spiral dance and a flowing of energy that provides really great basic visualization content for working with in beginning witchcraft. Also note that the spells in the stories aren't rabbit out of the hat sort of magic tricks. They actually follow along the same kind of basic principles that modern witchcraft uses. This series also gets into the depiction of the Fae, which is a very specific vein of beliefs within witchcraft. For those interested, I believe it is a pretty fantastic depiction of the concept. Lastly, and also as a trigger warning, this series explores the heart-wrenching concept of witch hunts. There are some scenes of deep violence that can be triggering. However, it is important to note that there are those that were labeled as witches, no matter their beliefs, and tortured. a truly sad note within our human history. And it's also one that we as a white pagan community must come to terms with. In many cases where there were witch hunts, those that were labeled as witches that were white were able to point fingers at black counterparts and absolve themselves of guilt, and thus passing on the death sentence. But not everyone was spared, no matter your skin color. And so it is something that we as practitioners must never forget. This is the first time in history where we can openly practice to some degree and in some cultures, in some places. It is a fight that we have not finished fighting, and a worthy mantle for those that are headed on the pagan path. Awareness and visibility is key. And that doesn't mean we need to normalize, but it would be nice to be recognized. Next, I want to recommend a book series that explores not only reincarnation, but a deep tie and practice with the astral plane. In Catherine Kerr's Diverse series, we follow a group of characters whose lives and energy have been bound together by a series of tragic decisions and a promise to set them right. Throughout the story, we follow these characters' souls as they are reincarnated, each time in the body of someone new. Each time their souls circle each other, hoping and fighting to set things right. Together, they are bound by no one, a man, a practitioner of the arts. Through the detailed descriptions of his rituals, we can contextualize and imagine interactions with the astral plane, as well as elementals who may reside there. Throughout the series, depictions of energy shielding and manipulation provide detailed ideas of how these concepts might be visualized for use during your own energy work. Happy reading! So, recently I was thinking about how technology supports witchcraft in my life and was asked what apps I use to help guide my spell work. So, I thought I would share a few. I use Moonly. This has astrology mixed into moon phases and some basic astrology work. It's a paid app, but so far it's worth it. Night Sky. This shows you the constellations that are around you. Our internal stardust loves a good look up into the night sky, and it's even more fun when you can find the shapes that have stood out over centuries. The Farmer's Almanac. This tells you everything from good planting times to tides and moon phases. It's a great resource, although it's a little clunky. Moon phase. Strictly a moon phase calendar. Simple, easy, straightforward. CoStar. This is an astrology app that will do a simple astrology house chart for you and allow you to connect with friends. It provides daily, weekly, seasonal feedback on your signs and their journey through the year. A bit horoscope, a bit more, a lot of fun. I also highly recommend a meditation app of some sort. There are so many out there, and truly you can pick whatever works best for you. But personally, I really enjoy Headspace. The content is diverse, yet consistent in how it is applied, so it's easy to learn tools and keep applying them in new situations. I also find that it doesn't really have a lot of the frills that some meditation apps have, and being a bit pragmatic, I do like me something that doesn't have all the bells and whistles sometimes. Hope that's helpful, and you can always check out more in this show's bio and social media feeds to find out more about those apps. Now, all of what I just said, it was a lot. And everything that is happening in our country and world right now, it's a lot. If you have been practicing tuning into the energy around you, you can feel it deeply. No matter your skin color, it's important that we all take time for self-care. Take a moment to meditate, to pause, to find joy. Take a moment to love, to share, to give. Read. Enjoy a hobby. Take a bath. Cast a ritual circle. Meditate or do work on the astral plane. Watch a film or TV show. Play with your furry friend, or better yet, your human ones. Only right now, maybe via Zoom or at a safe social distance, unless you live together. Because in these moments of joy, of love, of sharing and giving, in those moments, we remember our humanity. Don't forget, as Desiderata says, You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Pragmatic Pagan. Please reach out with any questions or stories you are willing to share. And stay connected by joining me on Facebook at A Pragmatic Pagan or on Instagram at The Pragmatic Pagan. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, until we merry meet again.